Blog Talk Radio.
Don't have Jesus, you really don't know what to do. You got to have Jesus in your life. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT. I am delighted, excited to be here this evening to bring a message to you from God. Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Amen. God is just so good. I am your host once again. I am here every Thursday. I am elated because I know God has given me an assignment. He's given me a mandate that I want to complete while I'm still here on earth. Our God is a good God. If you don't have Jesus, you really don't know what to do. You think you do, but you are lost. You are lost. Amen. Thursday, Thirst for Truth. We're here this evening to hear the truth, to try to receive something and marinate that message within our spirit so we can go out and help others. Amen. God is just so good. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are a loving and gracious God. You offer us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you and we love you because your love is perfect and it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Amen. We pray that our lives that would be filled and overflowing with the power of your love so we can make a difference in this world and bring honor to you, to our family, to our friends and neighbors. We ask for your help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly. It's not based on any talent or gift that we might show. But the most significant thing, dear Lord, is that we can do in this lifetime is simply to love and to choose to love others. Father God, we know that love is patient, and that helps us to show patience with those around us. We know that love is kind, and that will help us to extend kindness to others. We know that love is not jealous, not envy. And that will help us to cast aside the feelings of jealousy and hatred towards others. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us love, for allowing us to show love. Amen. We thank you because love is always that. Amen. Once again, I'm your host, Elder QT Docs. The day is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. I'm coming to you under the auspices of Kingdom Builder International Institute, under the direction of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Cox. Amen. We're going to be talking about God's love today, because love is, as they say, love makes the world go round. Amen. I will be coming out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 31 and Genesis 1 and 3. So I'm going to be talking about love. Love. Love is so true. When you meet someone and you see that love in their face, in their eyes, in their smile, in their touch, you know you have love. They say that if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. They say if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about love. The overflowing of love. God is just, our God is love. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and your gracious and being gracious to us. We want to thank you for offering us the forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Father, we want to thank you that your love is perfect and it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing. We pray that our lives will be filled and overflowing with the power of your love, so we can make a difference in this world once again and bring honor to you. We ask for your help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly. It is not based on our talents and gifts. But the most significant things we can do in this lifetime is simply to love you and choose to love others. Amen. See, people think that a soulmate is so perfect, or is a perfect fit. But what everyone wants, and that's what everyone's looking for, but a true soulmate is a mirror. It's that mirror within us, the person who shows you everything that is holding you back, the person who brings you to your own attention so you can change your life. We talk about you. That was by Elizabeth Gilbert. She also said that, I am here. I love you. I don't care if you need to stay up crying all night long. I will stay with you. There's nothing you can do ever to lose my love. I will protect you until you die. And after your death, I will still protect you. I am stronger than depression, and I am braver than loneliness, and nothing will ever exhaust me. That's by Elizabeth Gilbert. Those sayings are so true. Our God is an awesome God. You see, we looked at Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It says, where Adam and Eve, you know, they are described as made in God's image, as companions who are called to share their lives together as they work side by side, caring for God's creation. But for us, it was a reminder that we were coming to our own. Like when we get married, or or we have that significant others as equal in God's sight, and that we promise to be there for each others, our friends, our family, to cooperate in everything that we do together. Now, so long as we both should live, you know, we said that, we repeat that during our marriage vows. But however, we also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, to remind us that love, that building each other up through patience, we build each other up through kindness, through respect, through peace, through truth, through trust, was the only sure way to make our lives together to be a blessing from God. We're talking about God's love. You know, love really does make that world go round. Or so the Gospel of John claims, as he said, as it opened with some dramatic words that just grabbed our attention. It said, God said, in the beginning, you know, we know it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It takes us back to yet another, when it said, in the beginning, in Genesis, where a majestic God speaks all creation, the world as we know it, into being through a word brimming with power. In the beginning, God created this heaven and earth. And that we know that the Apostle John wants us to see again this vision of a created God, the sovereign of the universe, whose powers that we know, amen, and knowledge is so vast that his ways are so mysterious, whose presence is so holy that we can't possibly draw near and know him. We're too small, my brothers and sisters. Too small. We're too insignificant. We're too imperfect to come into God's presence. But then the miracle happens, my brothers and sisters. What we can do in our feeble humanity, God can do in his power and majesty. See, if we can draw near to God in our failures and sin, God can draw near to us in all his holiness. See, he does just a few verses on from that verse in that chapter. It says, in the beginning was the Word. See, John's gospel declared that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is just so true. You see, folks, see the Apostle John is telling us that the same Word of power through whom God made the world has now taken on human form in Jesus Christ. See, he's proclaiming that God's up close and personal love story with us has begun, because through Jesus, we meet a God looking for a relationship with each one of us. We discover the love that at the very heart of God is his love. You're talking about love, my brothers and sisters, because we see so much hate, so much disparity, so much anger, so much unforgiveness, because we don't love ourselves, and then we project it on others. You know, just take a look at Jesus, you know, his deep connections with the crowd, you know, when he taught and showed them God's way of doing things, his compassion for unclean lepers and blind beggars, the paralyzed and the demonic possession, as he restored them all to wholeness. You know, his His keenest interest in the ignore and exclude it. You know, we're talking about love, brothers and sisters, as we pass the homeless, as we pass the poor, as we pass these people that we consider degenerate, those are the same people that Jesus had compassion for. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. You know, the corrupt tax collectors, the half-breed Samaritan, and women. We're talking about women of all things, showing them all that matters to God. His loneliness, his death on the cross, carrying the burden of our sins, so that we could start with a clean slate in God's great company. Don't we want that, my brothers and sisters? We want that clean slate. You know, no wonder the Apostle John, looking back on all this, he wrote these wonderful words in 1 John. He said, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God." Amen. Whoever, it's just so beautiful. It says, whoever does not love does not know God. So we can pretend we love someone and we backslide and do things that's not appropriate. To hurt someone, to defame someone, to knock someone's characters to a point where we cause that person to be hurt. And because of that, you know, we do not know God. Because if we know God, we know God is love. Because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, my brothers and sisters. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us, for our sins. Oh, my dear beloved, since God so loved us to love one another, we ought to love one another. 1 John 4:7-11. That's where that came from. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about love. You know, God calls us to love each other. See, when all is said and done, love holds the gospel good news of Jesus together. See, love should hold gospel people together too. See, people like you and me, we love God. And we should show that same love that God has given us to others. But let's be honest with one another. It isn't easy. Yeah, we're going to be talked about. We're going to be, you know, called names. You know, people are going to light on us. They're going to do all kinds of things. But we know that love that God's given us, that is embedded in us, that is engraved in us, we will overcome. See, moments when sin triumphs over love, and any thought of being equals before God and obeying his call to share life love with us, see, it has that kind of going out the window for a while when people hit us pretty hard. And we have to know we have to stand fast. We have to be immovable. We have to know that his love is going to conquer all. And in those moments that we've been called back to our vows before God, the promise that we made to love each other as Christ does, to be selfless, sacrificial, redemptive, to build others, to build each other's up through the goodness and generosity of his love. And we have had to repent to admit that we were going about things the wrong way, and it was time to do a spiritual, my brothers and sisters, it's time to do that spiritual 360 degrees. Maybe for some of us, it's time to do that spiritual 180 degrees in our lives to give back to God's love. Now, I'm sure that I am not alone in saying this or in fessing up that this morning, this evening, that what does the Apostle Paul say? He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 3 and 12, it said, let's be real, you know, with ourselves, you know, as we talk about our love for our brothers and sisters. See, we all have bleak moments in our intimate relationship with each other. Whatever that relationship might be, my brothers and sisters, a close friendship, a dating relationship, a marriage, a long-time bond with a brother or sister in the faith, we simply must fess up and face up to the fact that sin is always nearby. Sometimes selfishness gets the better of us. Sometimes anger and harsh words disturb our peace. Now, we all have experienced that. Sometimes we play power games. Sometimes we play psychological games. Sometimes we delight in evil as we play those games over those that's closest to us. But guess what? God can fashion something beautiful and alive out of even the worst possible mess we could imagine. So no matter what you think you might be in or what you think you have done that you think is unforgivable, that you will not be forgiven. But let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you today that God, our God, He can bring life. He can bring beauty. He can bring love to the worst possible mess we could have imagined. And we have stepped in. See, if you don't believe me, well, take a look at the church in the city of Corinth. In the early days of the Christian faith, Corinth was the New York, as we say, the New York of the Roman empires. You know, it was booming with businesses, host of sporting events like the Madison Square Garden and live theaters and multicultural with people from everywhere living side by side. And that Roman Empire was socially diverse with rich and poor. Just like Detroit and Chicago and LA, all the big cities, masters and slaves, tradesmen and merchants, salesmen and philosophers, all things together and trying to get along. Amen. And it was a religious city. Like we have a lot of cities, we have. They say in Detroit there's a church on every corner. In Detroit have more church per square miles than any other cities. Although doing our worship, we often cross. the line into something entirely different. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. See, Paul comes out and made a statement regarding the church. He said a church about as diverse and chaotic as the city itself. We have a lot of churches like that. It was multicultural in Paul's day, like we have big churches that are multicultural in our days, and it's socially diverse. It also had members from the city side of life, as well as from the aristocratic side of life. Paul says we're now sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But who, you know, so we're bringing everybody into the fold. But, you know, those who were once sexually immoral, adulterers, idolatry, the prostitute, the drunkards, the drug addicts, Paul's saying that, hey, we welcome everybody. You show love to everyone. It doesn't matter. See, there's no big surprise when the church folks had a tough time holding it together. They broke into factions, and they broke into squabbling over church doctrine. And, you know, this doctrine should be this, or they want to put this in that doctrine. See, there was social division, just like we have today. It's nothing new under the sun, my brothers and sisters. The rich and the poor were treated differently around the Lord's Supper. We see that today in a lot of big churches. We know that if you got the money, you can sit up front. If you don't have the money, you sit in the back. Amen. See, church members was using, where we're suing church members, and we were doing all kinds of things. And there was some wild sex stuff going on of all sorts of kinds. And Paul says that way back then, that does not even occur. You know, he's saying that, you know, we're doing all this as we practicing, as some of us was practicing paganism. And he mentioned this all in his 1 Corinthians. But in spite of all that, Paul, who believed in a loving God, still had faith in the church folks in Corinth. See, that's why he reminded them that as Jesus' followers, he said, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit and equipped with spiritual gifts to use, to be used, as they say in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, for the common good of their church and ministry. See, Paul is preaching to them. And then to really bring it home, he gives them a word picture. He said, each person using their spiritual gift in the church is likely, it's like all the different pieces and parts of a human body working together to create something beautiful and alive. Actually, Paul is saying that the folks in Corinth are now more than just any run-of-the-mill human being. See, Paul is bringing in all the fivefold ministries. See, you are the body of the Christ. Paul is saying this. He's telling them, pleading with them, to recognize that God in Jesus has redeemed and formed them into something glorious, the living, breathing presence of Christ in this world. He's saying to them that, as plain as day, he said, you are as Christ to your world, working to redeem it. God is just, I mean, God is love. And he's speaking through Paul. He's telling, but Paul is telling the people at Corinth that this is what God is telling you. God is telling you all that he did for them, that he's doing for us today. This is inspiring stuff. Then Paul draws a line in the sand and tells them that they won't be able to cross it unless they also all share together in that most excellent way. And he's telling them they must share together love. They won't get beyond the chaos and conflict and keep it together as Christ's body unless they learn to practice love. See, in their home lives, in their church life, in their work, in their neighborhoods, in their community, Paul is saying, you got to practice love. You have to show love. See, Paul uses high drama to get his point across. He's saying that in his opening verse in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, the kind of love that he's telling them, he said, he sets himself up as the perfect followers of Jesus Christ. Imagine if he said, I have something amazing spiritually, or gifts, tongues. And, you know, he's talking about the miracle working faith and giving everything to the poor and even willing to sacrifice myself for Christ's cause. Paul's telling them they must step out and show love. Now he said, imagine if Paul said, if I am a perfect Jesus follower, and yet here's the kicker. He said, if not love, well then I am really no follower at all. You see, we say we love God, we say we're practicing and proclaiming everything that he wants us to do, but yet we're not a true follower of love because we're not showing love. So who are we following? Are you just a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal or just a mouthpiece selling wolf tickets? You're just making noise? Paul is basically saying you're nothing and you're gaining nothing. Amen? We're talking about God's love for us and our loves for others. Do we really love ourselves, or do we have a problem with ourselves? That mirror that we talk about, that mirror of us, do we see a change in us? Do we love ourselves enough to change for God? And with those words, the apostle points out that he said, a great truth that we need to take heart, you know, in our own home lives, and in our churches. He brought out these points. He said, look, people. He said, if we're at a river crossing, and our Christian, and our Christ body, he said, we need to look like Jesus. We want people to look at us and say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. Because I see their walk life. They're walking with God. They're walking with Christ. And if we're to look like Jesus, then the love is where we start. Amen? See, love as Christ practiced in his own ministry and death. He said, love that is selfless, sacrificial, and redemptive. A love that reflects Christ's character as it brings freedom and hope and new life to others. Oh, my brothers and sisters, do you feel me? You see, we're talking about love, love that shows up in attitudes and action that builds people up into all that God intended for us to be and for them to be. A love that reveals in virtues living that has the power to change people and bring them together. Can we bring people together in love? Do we even try to bring people together in love? Do we go to people and show love. See, love is patient. We know love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And we know a lot of people that say they love, but yet they boast about everything they have, like they're better than one another. They got that sedity, that highfalutin attitude. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. Love is not proud. It is definitely not rude. It is not self-seeking. And we run across so many people that fit the character of these categories. See, love is not easily anger. But when we do get angry, we should sin not. We should sin not. It keeps no record of wrong. How many times we hear people saying in our lifetime that, because I know I have many times, we hear people saying, so-and-so did this 10 years ago, 5 years ago. They're holding that off, that unforgiveness. But if you had love, that should have faded away 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. See, love does not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. It's always protect. Always trust. Always hope. Always persevere. See, love, my brothers and sisters, love never fails. We're talking about love. Do we have love for our fellow man? Do we have love? And how do we act when the one you love the most, when the one you hate, when the one you help the most, those the same person that you help and love the most turn around and backstab you, turn around and talk about you, turn around is never enough. We're talking about love. How do you react? How do you hold up? When you gave it all, you show love, you talk love, you render love. And how do you feel, my brother and sister, when love turns its back on you? You see, I did all this for my brother. I did all this for my sister. I did all this, you know, for, and look what they did for me. They talked about me. They lied on me. They cheated. They did everything. How do you react? So, but what about when love does fail? How do you react? Are you going to walk like Jesus? Are you going to continue to love? Amen. Ask yourself those questions. Or to put it more accurately, what happens when sin triumphs over love? What happens, for example, when domestic violence and abuse prevail in our home lives and impact our church lives? Look, folks, this is a troubling reality that affects all of us here through friendship or family relationship or even church connection. What happens when love fails you? How do you get up and walk again? How do you get up and talk again when love fails? When some ungrateful soul that you've been helping all your life, some ungrateful souls that you pulled up from the mighty clay, some ungrateful soul that you fed and you clothed and you led them down that path, turn around and degrade you. How do you feel when love fails you? Amen. See, maybe we don't know what to do. You know, I don't know, in domestic and all these other little stuff that life turns and spiral within our lives. And we talk about spouse abuse. We're talking about inmate partners violence. We're talking about family violence. We're talking about dating violence. We're talking about whatever the violence or whatever the thought or backstabbing or people that put things on us that wasn't true. But whatever you want to call it, the reality is the same. Domestic violence and abuse happens in all relationships. Doesn't matter what it is. But it's typically between husband and wife or common law partners. We're talking about other two that's dating. We're going to have those same events going on regardless of what or where or how we live our lives. But listen up, my brothers and sisters. You know, we know that study confirms that beyond a doubt that 85% of the time the abuser is a man and the victim a woman. Sure, it can be the other way, around the other 15%. But we know that it does happen. But it's time for us to face the facts that it's so clear that domestic violence and abuse happens throughout society. It shows no respect for how educated people are. See, we look at the wealthy and the educated individual think this only happens to poor individuals and poverty stricken individuals. It happens in all walks of life. These same incidents happens everywhere to all levels of our lives. It shows no respect for education or for educated people. It shows no respect for how much money they have. It even shows no respect for the church you go to or you don't go to. It takes many forms. See, physical violence, verbal assaults, manipulation, cruelty, isolation, unreasonable demand, it's there in all walks of life. See, when you don't have that love, when you don't love God, and when you look in the mirror, you realize you don't love yourself, you seem to convey it, you seem to project it on others. And regardless of what economic or social life you might be, level you might be on. And the abuser uses all these forms to control or to get the upper hand, to get the better, or to have that power over individuals. Because that love that they don't have, they want to bring the love that he or she might have to down with them. See, we know that they say, you know, domestic violence is a calculated behavior. The abuser uses it to dominate. We know this. You know, it's the abuser way of saying that I own you. I am going to make you so afraid of me that I am going to humiliate you so badly that I can get you to do anything I please. Not because I love you. It's because I want to be dominant and I want whatever I want. But whatever you do still won't be good enough. Amen? So you know that it should make us weep that from the year 2000 to 2005, they say that 653,000 Canadian women reported being a victim of spousal abuse. They found out love wasn't there. Love wasn't there. We're talking about love, my brothers and sisters. Love that God has given us, that God has shown us, that his love is always there. And if we love God, we're going to love others. If we love God, these abuse, these crimes, you know, domestic, you know, it just wouldn't occur if our love was true within ourselves. We talk about violence. You know, the high, the reporting rates of violence as we see it. Man, you can't get on the internet. You can't turn on the television. But you hear all these violence between one another, between blacks on blacks, white on blacks on white, Asians. We're talking about violence because the hate, the anger these people have within themselves. They don't love themselves enough to behave in a godly way. The rate of dating violence, it says 60% higher. It's just getting ridiculous. We're talking about the love that God has given us, the love that God is showing us. It's just not there. We're talking about love. We're talking about love. Our love, my brothers and sisters. And let us not pretend. This is a worldly issue as well. A problem that goes on beyond the universe. If you don't have love, you're going to have destruction. It's going to touch every facet of our lives. It's going to touch the church. It's going to touch your home life. It's going to touch your neighbors and your community. Yes, we're talking about love. Our love for ourselves makes us love others even more. And let's be clear about one more thing. Domestic violence and abuse is sin. Domestic violence and abuse is sin. It offends God. It grieves his heart. It's the opposite of what Jesus modeled. It's contrary to what we call to as his followers. Love. We know that domestic love, domestic violence and abuse control and dominates, hits and hurts. This name calls, play mind games, practice cruelty, humiliates, blame is never satisfied. Do you hear any echo coming from that 1 Corinthians 13 and all that? Yes, it's all in there. Of course not, because love is Christ's way. Domestic violence and other abuse and other situations is the sin way. See, God calls us to serve each other. And my brothers and sisters, that is something we need to do. Serve each other. See, the Gospel of John, for a moment, it's that big deal that the same word of power through whom God made the world takes on human form in Jesus Christ. Think about that. It's a picture of humble God who's willing to bring himself down to our level so that we might know what's real. What's real love looks like. And we saw that through Jesus Christ that was made flesh. And John continued to show us his humble God throughout his gospel journey. We need to continue to show love regardless of what transpired throughout our journey in life here, throughout our destiny, throughout our assignment, our mandate. We need to show love. Amen. We need to show love. We know that for them, you know, there is no other way, because it took place in the shadow of the cross. See, we know that Jesus knew that the hour had come to fulfill. His love never stopped. And he never stopped loving those people that was crucifying him. In the shadow of the cross, we know that Jesus still loved us. He knew that he must fulfill God's will and mandate. He knew that he must fulfill the assignment that while he was here on earth, by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. But he also knew that his death would generate incredible pressure that could well break his disciple hearts and break them apart. But he knew that the love he showed them will conquer all, that they will continue to speak and preach the gospel, spread the good news, that our God is love, that our God is love. Amen. We're talking about God's love. We're talking about God's love. So if you're looking for love, my brothers and sisters, some of us look for love in all the wrong places. But we're talking about God's love. You need to look for God's love. And the only way we can do that is if we know God. And we must know God. We must know God. Amen. So all I'm saying that in Romans 10 and 9, it's telling you that, basically saying that if you need to find a good Bible church home, or you need to pick up the Bible and turn to Romans 10 and 9 and speak to God. Just tell God that you want to surrender all to him, that you know that his love never fails you, that you want to be filled with his love so you can go out there and show people that I do have the love of God. I have been saved. I surrender all to him, and I proclaim in his name that God is love. You know, you want to confess with your mouth that, hey, Jesus is Christ. See, he is Lord. And you want them to see the light shining from your face. Allow that countenance to show. So people can say, hey, this man has been changed. This woman has been changed. Find yourself a good church to go to. Surround yourself with kindred spirits. Because you want to keep that light shining. You don't want that light to go dim, because you have an assignment. You have an assignment, my brothers and sisters. So you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. So I beg you, brothers and sisters in Christ, go out there and show love this week. Go out there and render a hand to someone. Go out there and proclaim his name. Go out there and let them see the love that God has given you. Let them see the love that you have for yourself that makes you able and ready to give that love to someone else. Because you give that love, it's like contagious. It's like a disease. It's going to catch on, and someone else is going to give that love. That same person you give that love to is going to turn around and show someone else love. It's like when you're going through a door inside a department store or inside the grocery store, you know, you let someone else go first. Someone else letting you go first. Then you see it's contagious. Someone else is opening the door. Someone else is doing this. My brothers and sisters, show your love. Amen. I just want to thank everyone for just being on the line today, for just being obedient to the word, for being obedient to yourself, because you know that God always has a message, always have a word for all of us, because God's word never go void. Share some love. Share some experience with someone else, my brothers and sisters. Be there. Be there for someone. If love fails you, don't worry about it. God never fail you. So if love fail you or knock you down or trip you or you allow to stumble or whatever, don't give up your love, because we know that love for our God, we know that we will never separate ourselves from him. So let's not separate ourselves from mankind. Love will conquer. Because love is like a disease. It spreads and it shows. So I want to thank you once again. Today is Thursday, Thirst for Truth. For Truth, and I am your host, Elder QT. May God continue to bless you. May his countenance continue to shine upon you. Amen. May his love carry you. God is the King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Lords of Lord. Jesus is Lord. May God continue to carry you through the rest of the week. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be blessed. Amen.
I just want to thank God for what he's doing. I want to invite everyone to the next broadcast. Come on, you can't miss it. For men, about men, same number, www.blogtalkradio.com/PBBI. This is our conference title. I just want to encourage you to don't go. Call back in so you can be blessed with the next broadcast. All because of love. Love works by faith. Come on, work your faith. God bless everyone.
We are the sons of God.
Yes,
and not,
yes.
What we know, we shall be like.
This we don't
have to.